Blog Talk Radio.
Can anybody out there hear my voice? Does anybody out there really care for a missing child?
Good evening and welcome to Voices for Justice. I'm your host, Michelle Barr, and tonight we take 25 with mothers of missing children. Our guests will be taking your call shortly. The call-in number is 917-932-8962. The chat room is also open if you log on to blogtalkradio.com/NWCave and click chat. You'll be able to join the conversation there. Every Sunday in May, we are taking 25. This is a campaign of our partners at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. To learn more about the campaign, visit www.take25.org. And to learn more about the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, visit missingkids.com. There you can also see all of the missing children in your neighborhood. If you see something, say something. As we saw this past week with Charles Ramsey in Ohio, you too can be a hero. Call 911 immediately or 1-800-THE-LOSS if you see or hear anything that can lead to a missing child. Missing children like Lindsey Baum, Brittany Drexel, Cara Nichols, Jamie Grissom, Kayla Cross Payne, Jesse Foster, and over 200,000 other children that are missing each and every year in this country. Tonight, we will welcome my co-host, Dr. Shelley Schaefer, who heads up our Missing Persons Division at the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, and we'll also welcome parents of missing children to the show to talk about what they felt transpired this week in Ohio, if that gives them hope. But right now, let's listen to a frantic 911 call from Amanda Berry, who was kidnapped April 21st, 2003, and was found this week.
5:51 p.m., 59 seconds, May 62013.
Please, 911.
Hello, please. Help me, I'm Amanda Berry.
You need police, fire, ambulance.
I need police.
Okay, and what's going on there?
I've been kidnapped, and I've been missing for 10 years, and I'm here. I'm free now.
Okay, and what's your address?
2207 Seymour Avenue.
2207 Seymour. It looks like you're calling me from 2210.
Huh?
It looks like you're calling me from 2210.
I can't hear you.
It looks like you were calling me from 2210 Seymour.
Yeah, I'm across the street. I'm using the phone.
Okay, stay there with those neighbors. Talk to the police when they get there.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, talk to the police when they get there.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, talk to the police when they get there.
Okay, I'm on the way right now. I need them.
We're
going to
send them as soon as we get a car open.
No, I need them now before we get back.
All right, we're sending them, okay?
Okay, I mean, like,
who's the guy? Who's the guy you're, who's the guy who went out?
His name is Ariel Castro.
All right, how old is he?
He's like 52.
All right, and
Steven, I'm Amanda Berry. I've been on the news for the last 10 years.
Okay, I got that
with
here.
Regina.
I already. And you said, what was his name again?
Ariel Castro.
And is he white, black, or Hispanic?
I'm Hispanic.
What's he wearing?
I don't know, because he's not here right now. That's
when
why
he
I
left,
got away.
When he left, what was he wearing?
No, it's a fitting. What?
Right, the police are on the way. Talk to them when they get there. Okay?
I
told you they're on the way. Talk to them when they get there, okay?
All right, okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're honored this evening to have mothers of missing children. One child in particular is Brittany Marie Drexel, who went missing on April 25th, 2009, at the age of 17. Another young lady, Lindsey Jo Baum, missing from McCleary, Washington, on June 26, 2009, was only 10 years old when she was picked up in her neighborhood walking home. And Cara Nichols, which is one of our cases at NW Cave, went missing on October 9th, 2012, at the age of 19. And we are so honored that Dr. Schaefer is with us, as well as the mother of Cara Nichols, Julia Nichols, is with us. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shelley, let me ask you a question with your law enforcement background, 26 years in law enforcement, forensic science. When we listen to a call like Amanda Berry's, what is the hope that all families hear that same 911 call at some point during the time a child goes missing?
I think we all always have to keep the hope. If a body isn't found, then there's always hope. And Julia, in your case, there's a great deal of hope. And we're, as Michelle mentioned, you're one of our cases, and we're working it to the bitter end. And there won't be an end until we bring Cara home. And there's always that hope, and you should never lose that hope. You know, that young lady that I hadn't heard that news clip before or that 911 tape, and that just was shocking to me, yet so exciting that after 10 years she had the wherewithal and the sense to call 911 when the gentleman, or I don't know if we can call him a gentleman, but when the guy went out. And 10 years is a long time. And if we are finding girls from 10 years, then always keep that hope. And I haven't lost hope on Cara. This is the first time I've spoken to you, but I've been working the scenes with Michelle, and I'm up to date on everything. And we have to always keep that hope unless we, like I said, we find remains or a body. And there's no reason for us to believe that in Cara's case that that's what we'll find. So the hope is there. The hope has to stay strong. And we just have to keep hoping that we're going to get a break.
Julia, how did
yeah.
you feel this past week when everything transpired in Ohio? How did that make you and your husband and other kids feel?
Well, we were shocked and amazed. Just hearing as the news poured out what those young women had gone through for so long, and how, and like you said, Shelley, having the wherewithal to break free at that moment in time and call 911, and it seemed like she had to really plead her case with the operator. That's another amazing thing. But it gave us renewed hope, but also, I have to say, some frustration, because now we're saying to ourselves, how do we find a needle in a haystack? What do we do now? So I'm just trying to puzzle
and
that out, and you know.
And we're on that needle in the haystack,
yeah.
And I don't think right now, and I won't get into details on the show, but right now I don't think it's quite a needle in a haystack. I think it's just a matter of retrieval.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after 10 years, there's all things that can go on in a person's mind. And what happens in many of these cases is they're drugged, they get Stockholm syndrome, and they don't have the knowledge or the gumption to call 911. And it's not that they're doing it on purpose. So we don't know the exact situation with Cara, but I will tell you, I don't think it's a needle in a haystack anymore. I think it's just a matter of following what we know and retrieval at this point. So
you know,
what bothers me is it's
not really a needle in a haystack like you're saying, but when you have to rely on the experts, and in most cases are your local law enforcement agencies, it's like in Cara's case, her son reported her missing and was bounced from jurisdiction to jurisdiction before they could even file a missing persons report, and most 19-year-olds wouldn't even get that much. And so, I mean, like in the case in Ohio, Michelle Knight was 22 when she went missing. They classified her as a runaway. First of all, 22-year-olds running away from whom? You know, and
right.
So Cara was the same way. She ran away. She committed suicide. We think she was murdered. We think she's just wanting to be left alone. That's all well and good, and that might have flown in the 1970s, but in the 21st century with social media and online activity, no one can stay hidden unless you're really trying to hide from the feds or for some crime. But if you've left on your own and you've done nothing wrong, no one can stay hidden. And when you don't see or hear from someone since October of 2012, it marked 7 months this past week for Cara. And yet we're no closer to finding her because every kind of lead that we have, we get excuses, and that's the best. Would that be the appropriate word, Julia, in Cara's case?
We almost get discouraged. We get not just excuses, but messages that almost seem meant to discourage us from hoping or pursuing hunches. And that is what I am really getting frustrated with.
Well, and you're not alone, Julia, because we have we've had dealings with law enforcement recently, and we don't know the reason for it, and I don't want to badmouth any law enforcement agency. I do understand what happened the other day, but they're not on top of it. At least we have Cara as a missing person. We don't have her as a runaway anymore. So that's a step in the right direction. It is frustrating. Law enforcement is very frustrating, whether they don't have the resources, the manpower. There's no excuse. But it is very frustrating. But to have other people standing behind your back, such as we are, and your support from your family and friends, you know, our mission is to bring Cara Nichols home. And we hope to do that soon. I have the utmost faith that we can do that, and that's either with or without law enforcement. You know,
and
just,
in the case like in Ohio, I mean, that particular case, if you start learning about all three of the girls, and I want to mention their names again, Amanda Berry was the young lady you heard on the 911 call. She was the one that escaped with her six-year-old daughter. She was kidnapped on April 21st, 2003. Gina De Jesus was 14 years old at the time of her disappearance in 2004. She was on her way home from school. And then we have Michelle Knight, 22, who was missing since 2002. And it was heartbreaking doing some research and learning a little bit about Michelle Knight, because we had many reporters asking us if we knew of any photos of her, because it didn't appear like there was much searching for her in the beginning and such. Her grandmother is on a soundbite that you can Google and look for. But this poor girl has had 5 forced miscarriages. She was beaten so bad that she needs plastic surgery, and this is why no one has seen or heard from her yet, because she does not want to see anybody yet, that she needs reconstructive surgery on her face. And that is heartbreaking. And that was just... learning that just a few minutes before we went on air today, those three girls being, and I'm sure they'll find out that he's done this to other girls as well, but Ariel Castro, 52 years of age, he moved in that neighborhood in 1992, arrested in 1993 on domestic violence. There were numerous different aspects with law enforcement throughout the years in regards to all three cases. There was a call made last year that law enforcement ruled out which I'm beginning to wonder if that was another attempt by Amanda Berry or Gina trying to escape. And these are things that, yes, we try not to go against law enforcement, but it's so upsetting to see families like Cara's, Raven Furlong's, Kayla Croft Payne's family. I mean, we just started getting some media hits this week on Kayla's case, and she's been missing since 2010. And so people need to, if you see something, say something. But when you do say something, where do you go? Because
yeah.
in Cara's case,
yeah.
we had tips that weren't being investigated or people feeling like that their tips weren't warranted by the police. How do you,
yeah.
As a mother, Julia, how do you respond to that?
Well, and Michelle, I think I emailed you a couple days ago about a tip I dug out when I Googled Cara and read comments from the various media reports over the last 7 months, where somebody said, I think I saw, we're almost positive we saw her at Walmart, and my coworker gave her some money, and we called in to the number on the flyer, and no one called us back. And this was in October.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I, of course, passed that along, but, you know, months go by, and that's not the first or the biggest
right.
tip that had gone ignored.
Unfortunately, when the children, and you know, I would totally rally and vote if I was a board member of the National Center to just saying children, period, instead of children under the age of 18. But that
yeah.
is what they're known for, is children under 18. So any children that go into the system prior to their 18th birthday, like Jamie Grissom, for instance, who's been missing from Vancouver, Washington since 1971, she is still in the system because she was entered when she went missing at age 16. But when you have 19-year-olds like Cara Nichols or in Michelle Knight's case, they're not entered into that database. But for the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, it's our purpose where we need tips to go somewhere that is reputable, that we know that will be researched. We always refer to 1-800-THE-LOST if the child's under 18. Because
and we also have our own tip line, so now there is a place to send tips. Michelle, could you tell them that number, listeners?
Right. We, you know, and especially in Cara's case, we've been looking into a lot with online modeling sites and such. So if you or anyone you know have any tips on Lisa Wallace's case, on Cara Nichols, Kayla Croft Payne, anything dealing with Yashawn Yvonne, Raven Furlong, feel free and call 360-852-8019, or you can also email us, and we will make sure that they get to the right detectives and investigators on those particular cases, and that is tips@nwcave.org. But I want to make sure that folks understand that if a child is under 18, the best place to direct any traffic with, if you have a tip or anything, is if you see that person in front of you, like as we saw in cases like J.C. Dugard and Elizabeth Smart, 911 immediately and do whatever it takes to get the 911 operator to hear you out. Otherwise, dial 800-THE-LOST because we can't say enough about the National Center. They will take more than 25 minutes to talk with you and make sure that they have all the details. So
now, Julia, can you tell us a little bit, you were living in Colorado Springs at the time, or you were living in Chicago, and she was living in Colorado Springs. Can you tell us a little bit of what transpired at the very beginning?
Well, at the very beginning, our son called us and said, "Have you heard from Cara? She calls me every day, and I haven't heard from her in a couple days." And I said, "No, as a matter of fact, I've called her a couple times and haven't heard back. I usually get a call back within, you know, a few hours when I do that." And so we were getting nervous, but, you know, we thought, well, maybe she had got busy or had to go out of town for a couple days or what have you. But we did encourage our son to kind of keep tabs on it. A couple days went by, and then he decided he was going to try to list her as a missing person, which we encouraged him to do, and he got nowhere. And so we then called, once we got on the phone later in the weekend, I think it was like now we're on Sunday. My son started to try to do what he could on the Friday and got nowhere, and then we got on the phone Sunday and got a hold of detectives in the right place. And because we were parents, more forceful and much older, they did seem to take us seriously. And so we started the ball rolling, but that, you know, now we're talking about 5 days have gone by.
Right.
4 days, maybe five.
Right.
And I think it's a little difficult in 24 hours to really establish that a 19-year-old living on her own has actually gone missing.
Right.
I think that's where the gray area is, unless you live with a person and you know their routines. But, you know, certainly after a few days of no contact, we were very concerned. So,
and plus she left everything behind.
Right.
You know, MO of someone taking off because you're running from the law or the feds, if you're doing who knows what, you know, that's one thing. You can go and hide underground. But if you leave to go to a working gig in Denver and you never come home and you've left $271 behind, your computer behind, all your clothes, makeup and everything else,
contact lenses,
not the MO of someone running away.
Right. And so that,
because
you know,
you could have
pawned
the computer, you know?
Yeah.
You could pawn the computer. Why would you leave not thinking you're coming home and not take the cash with you? And so that's what gets me. You know, there's so many cases where, like Lindsay Baum. Let me tell you a little bit about Lindsay Baum's case. Her mom and Don Drexel, Brittany Drexel's mom, are supposed to be calling in tonight. But Lindsay Baum went missing on June 26, 2009, at the age of 10 from McCleary, Washington. McCleary, Washington has 1,500 people in it. There's only two ways in and out of the whole town. She only weighed 90 pounds, 4'10", brown, cute little kid, brown hair, eyes, brown hair, and she simply was going from her friend's house one block away to her own house, and there was a Shell station or a gas station right on the corner. There's an assisted living that she had been seen in front of, and then vanished. And it was the longest daylight day of the year in the summer, and she just vanished. Now, those kind of cases have no evidence to help investigators lead to that victim. But when you have Cara Nichols or Raven Furlong or Kayla Cross Payne, and these are cases that you actually have evidence of something, you have computer evidence. In many cases, the computer's never even looked at or dumped. You have cell phone records. Oh, it takes too long to get warrants to do pings and all, and another excuse. You know, you've got evidence that these girls leave all this stuff behind because it shows an intention to come home. So when you have so much evidence to guide law enforcement, I'm done with the excuses. I'm sorry, and
right.
These aren't even my children.
Well, we provided access to all the phone logs immediately, having been told that a warrant would take several weeks to process through the cell phone company. And it still took them, let's see, it wasn't until February that they told us they were going through those phone numbers.
Yeah.
Almost 4 months.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is we hear of trafficking victims and we hear of it in different countries, and we don't realize that it's very big in our country. And the police, they do have task force, some of them, and the feds have task force, but the reason why nothing is getting done is I can't even answer it.
They're refusing to look beneath the surface. They're trained, I guess, they're trained on textbook traditional ways of investigation, where she's 19, she had a lot of online activity in on profiles that none of us would probably ever have for ourselves, and boom, she's tagged. Lindsay is 10. Oh, she ran away from home. You know, boom, tagged as a runaway. You've got Brittany Marie Drexel, who her mom told her she could not go to spring break with the kids in Myrtle Beach. She lives in New York. She goes down. She's seen happy-go-lucky walking into a hotel on April 25th, 2009, walks out and never seen or heard from again. And Dawn Drexel has evidence that kind of like Karen and Kayla Croft Payne's situation, where trafficking may have been a situation with that. And yet, you know, still no arrest, no person of interest in Brittany's case. And it gets so frustrating with parents, and I know it has with you and Paul, Julia, that, you know, no matter what you bring to the table, it's like, oh, no, we don't have the manpower. Oh, no, we don't have the time. No, her, you know, we had a witness go in and tell police, oh, yeah, it didn't pan out, you know. And
or
it's so frustrating.
We only follow facts, they say. That's the biggest thing.
We only follow facts.
Well, what are the facts just going to fall into their laps? I don't think so. And so they're, you know, 20 steps behind these traffickers, if not more, using very outmoded methods, much less sophisticated, I must say. And that's where these people are getting away with it, and they know it.
And they do. Let us play a clip on Cara Nichols. This was back from HLN in November 2012 to give our listeners a little recap on where we were back in November, which we went to the table and asked the police to do a press conference with us. This was on Jane Velez Mitchell.
Where is Cara? She's been missing for more than a month now. There was the call from her mobile phone just before midnight. Then nothing. She has blonde hair and green eyes.
Tonight, the clock is ticking for a family desperate for clues in the mysterious disappearance of their beautiful 19-year-old daughter. Cara Nichols, there she is in various photos, was last heard from a month and a half ago when she made a call from her cell phone just before midnight. That is the last trace of this aspiring model. Her mother and father believe she was on her way to Denver for a potential modeling job. The cops call her disappearance suspicious because she has had no contact with family or friends. What are the secrets of this case that might help us find Cara? Straight out to Michelle Bart, president and co-founder of the National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation. Michelle, I know you're working very closely with this frantic family. We all want to find Cara. I'm perplexed. This beautiful young woman has been missing for more than a month, and yet doing research all day, we can't find basic information. We don't know if she was driving a car, let alone what kind of car. So what do we know, Michelle?
Basically what you said on the intro, we know that she left her home in Colorado Springs, bound for Denver, about 60 miles away from Colorado Springs to Denver on October 9th. The last ping was at 11:45 p.m., and the family came to our organization this past week because there was no media attention on Cara. And you know, and I know, Jane, in order for the public to care and want to look for someone, they need to know she's missing. And so that's what our media.
So that was from November of 2012, on November 10th, shortly after the family of Cara Nichols brought our organization on board. There's right ways and wrong ways of doing investigations. We all know that. And we're not here to point fingers at police or what have you. But in Cara's particular situation, Julia, you know, have they given you any hope?
No, they have not. From the very beginning, they assumed she was a homicide victim.
But then you came to us and you said, now they're telling us they think that she OD'd, and what was our response to you?
Well, you told me that people don't OD and then hide their own body.
I mean, that's isn't that logic? I mean,
yes,
I don't
yes.
know too many people that can kill themselves and hide themselves.
Yes, yes. So somebody knows something, and it's, you know, starting to feel like we as parents are the, and of course with your organization doing everything possible, are the ones that are caring more to figure out what happened. Without making,
but we're also limited, and that's
yes.
what the frustrating part is for all of the cases that we have right now. We're limited because when we do have something, I'll take Kayla's case for instance. We have reason to believe, without a shadow of a doubt in our minds, that that young lady disappeared from Chehalis, Washington in 2010, also in April, ironically. She disappeared after posting saying on Facebook that she was going off to a modeling, off to a photo shoot, that she met a photographer on Model Mayhem. She posted that. I saw it. The family saw it. And so we have reason to believe that was true. And that family introduced us to the onset of Cara's case in regards to modeling sites. And for that particular case, you know, when you serve a warrant to any company, you know, I would think that you would have to see evidence to prove things. But then when you serve a warrant on a company and ask for a profile on somebody and then it disappears, wouldn't that be a red flag? So like with Cara's case, you know, it's like anything that is possible is ruled out immediately because, you know, we're grasping at straws and they only follow facts.
Now,
right.
Do we know, Julia, when she went to Denver, she went for a photo shoot?
Well, we don't know if she even got to Denver. The last ping was not anywhere that near to Denver. It was more
right.
in...
And we don't
so
even
we,
know if that was her ping. That could have been someone using her cell phone.
True. So we don't really know, you know, what much about what possibly happened, which direction even. We know what
now
she said she was doing, but we don't know what actually transpired.
She told her roommates heading to Denver for work or something of that nature, and she left with somebody because she did not have a vehicle herself, and yet, you know, then she never came home. From our understanding, there is no person of interest. There were a couple people of interest at one point in time, and those brunettes and everybody else were questioned, but nothing, no one's talking. And so we're no closer today than we were then. And it gets so frustrating with what do we do as an organization that continues to have a voice for your daughter. But then when we have things that need to be tracked, we're told, you know, we have limited resources, we can't do that, oh, that didn't lead anywhere, you know. How far do you go? I mean, this coming weekend on the 18th, we've alerted some of the media, and we'll be sending out a release to media in the Colorado Springs area that you and some friends will be handing out flyers of Cara throughout Colorado Springs this coming a week from yesterday. And then you moved back there from Chicago in order to help find your daughter and bring her home. And so, you know, summer is coming up. You're a teacher, and you'll be moving back to Chicago. How do you feel about you know, the circumstances right now?
Well, as time draws near for me to move back, I guess I grow more, I don't know, maybe a little more panicky that you know, without being here, will this all just be forgotten about?
Well, I don't think it'll be forgotten about, and I did want to mention something that Michelle was just talking about, was that, you know, nothing is done, and where do we go from here? NW Cave has many resources at this point, including computer forensic people, and we're building our resource and partnerships with different organizations. And I don't, your case will not be forgotten by us. And
that's
the El Paso County Sheriff, I understand there's a little bit of difficulty right now, but hopefully we can turn that around and get them back on the right track to help us or for us to help them, whichever way it goes. Our hands are somewhat tied, but our resources and everything that we have will make us, are making us more helpful to police agencies. And the information that we gather, we have a task force, Operation Runway, and the task force is to help find missing people. And,
which Julia serves on, too. And,
right.
And
yeah.
She has joined that op. So to learn more about that, you can visit operationrunway.org, and that is a task force of NW Cave, as Shelley has stated. And if you or anyone you know has been exploited or are missing, in particular missing, it seems to be what most of the media is asking us about, we do have a list going. Please call us, 360-852-8019. And tell us your story, because we want to help you find your kids. But if you have daughters or even sons that have been exploited, raped, abused in any way, are missing, or were murdered and actually had a profile on a modeling website, we want to hear from you. Because we have formed a task force. It's a national task force. And we are going to exploit the exploited at this point.
And I know it's frustrating, Julia, and especially today being Mother's Day, and my thoughts go out to you and your family. But as I said, we don't need to lose hope yet.
Right, I understand, and I'm very grateful for the outpouring of support at all times. It just really, it holds me up. It lifts me up and keeps me going. And I just, I'm puzzling through in my own mind what steps I can take to keep everything.
Well, you're on our task force, and that's a great step, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we continue to keep the missing, including Kara. We continue to keep them in the media and keep them visible so people don't forget. And, you know, this coming up weekend or next weekend, however you want to say it, the media will be with you posting flyers. And
yeah, we're going to try to have some cameras out there to let the story keep going, because one of Colorado Springs' kids, 19-year-old, missing. In Colorado Springs, here's breaking news. You all have a lot of missing people. And you know, and people need to step up to the plate. If you hear something, if you see something, say something. You have to. You know, this past weekend we watched Anderson Cooper on CNN with John Walsh. I love John. He is great. We've been on America's Most Wanted with him. He does great work. And at times, you know, I always think, am I going to put my foot in my mouth if I say this? I was so happy to hear that the way I'm feeling, John said what I'm feeling on Anderson this past week. And if you can find the segment or download it somewhere, watch it, because if every show is able to do a show like that once a month, imagine the impact that we would be having in our society, bringing people home. Because, you know, John has lived his life searching for answers at the death of his son, Adam Walsh. And it took 27 years to bring that case to justice. So
wow.
He's done great work. And there's always hope, and always hope, you know, until someone is found. How does a parent like yourself, Julia, and again, if Don Drexel or Melissa Baum are out there, the call-in number is 917-932-8962. To learn more about those two cases, visit helpfindbrittanydrexel.com, or you can log on to findlindsaybaum.com. For the case that we have Julia Nichols on about her daughter, Kara, you can log on to karanichols.org to learn more about that case. And again, every Sunday we are doing a show about take 25 minutes to educate your children about safety and the do's and don'ts of the Internet, which is our major issue in today's society. But log on to take25.org, and to find missing children in your area that you can help bring home, missingkids.com, because in every case, including Kara's, someone knows something. And if you know something, say something, because if you don't, sooner or later, your secret will be out of the bag. How does a family, especially on Mother's Day, we've had this show many times on Mother's Day, and hopefully someday we won't need it on Mother's Day, but how does a mother today cope when you have other children to celebrate with, but yet one of your other children are missing?
Well, it's very difficult. There's always that shadow hanging over us and in the back of our minds and hearts, just have to keep one foot in front of the other and with hope being at the forefront, you know, instead of giving in to despair or discouragement, then we get through the day. But it's not easy, and, you know, I find myself thinking so much about Kara all day today and thinking how surreal this all seems. So that's, you know, I do have to just own up to my feelings, too, and I think all parents do, rather than pretending everything is peachy keen, so to speak.
How's Paul handling it? Because I know that no matter how many times I have to watch the soundbite from the press conference back in November, it just breaks my heart to watch him speak of Kara. How's
yeah.
he handling it?
Well, it's the process. He seems to be coping okay now. In the early stages of this, it was really, really hard just to get through our days and without breaking down. But knowing to keep steady with a routine and knowing that we have to do a lot of things with our other two kids, you know, that's just part of the whole process.
And I think
little by little he's doing better.
And it seems very surreal because nobody ever thinks it will happen to them or a person in their family, excuse me, or their child. And that's why it seems surreal. But it can happen to anyone, and it is happening to people from all walks of life. From the wealthy to poor, to middle class or well off, it's happening to many young people, and there's just, you know, it brings me down on society. Like, how did society get this way and get so selfish to take kids or young people? I know Kara's not a kid, but in your eyes, she's always your kid. But it seems surreal, and it does happen, and you need to please remember you're not alone. And you're definitely not alone when you have N.W. Cave by your side.
Yeah, and that's what keeps us going, definitely. It's
So, you know, I'm...
Before we contacted
Julia
you guys,
has come a long way.
So.
Julia
so
has
long
come a long
month.
Way. When we met up in Colorado in January, you know, we're not your typical organization that's going to push you to do anything that you don't want to do, because we have to weigh out everything, and that includes the partnership with the police departments, and we're here to help them and assist them. We're never here to impede their investigation whatsoever. And
no.
So for us, the first few months, we were walking on eggshells, and when the stuff started to explode in regards to some idiot out there posting stuff as they were Kara, and then passing out flyers in Las Vegas, and things started happening. That happens in so many cases. So many parents tell us that. And this was no different. The police did nick it in the butt, thank goodness. But at that time, when the case was big in the media, we had to stop doing interviews. And, you know, at that point, you know, we can't be the voice for the child. And come January, boom, you are a whole different person. And you say it like it is, and you need to. In this particular case, we need to. We need to say it like it is, because we have not heard from Kara like we did in other cases like Raven Furlong and others. We have not heard from Kara. No one has heard from Kara. She has not emailed anyone, let alone her brother, who she's very close to. So for us, you know, the more we keep it out there, the more we're able to hopefully get to her. Like, obviously, something triggered Amanda to want to get out of there. Maybe it was because all of a sudden, you know, he was out of the house, and they found the opportunity because they saw Charles Ramsey across the street. Whatever the case may be, we cannot ask, well, why didn't you leave? You know, that's what John said on Anderson's show this weekend. You know, Sean Hornbeck and Elizabeth Smart, J.C. Dugard, they will all say the same thing to you. The biggest insult to them is anyone asking, well, why didn't you leave? That's like asking an abused mother, why don't you leave? Because she thinks at the time it's the best thing for the child. And these kids are no different. Amanda Berry, if she had done anything differently, she may have never made that 911 call. And so, you know, who are we to question? It's Stockholm Syndrome, right, Shelley? It's like a Stockholm Syndrome.
Yes. There's there's a lot of brainwashing, mind control. And that causes the missing person to gain some Stockholm syndrome with their captors, and that becomes an issue. The mind control is it's done fairly quickly to my knowledge and to my research, and it's not that Kara does not want to reach out to you. It's that she's been probably mind controlled not to.
And drugged.
And I think
fear
that
also.
Fear,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, just simply being
fear.
Afraid that, for your very life.
Yep, and I think that, Julia, you being on the show, and for our listeners, I have to just say, many people are just saying, well, it is what it is, they're gone, and that's it, that's the end. No. That's not the end. That's the beginning of finding them.
In fact, the police did tell Julia that the case was cold, didn't they?
Well, they did, in fact, say as much as that. They didn't officially label it a cold case, but then it's funny. They kind of go back and forth. There's a bit of miscommunication going on. And when we come back and say, so is it cold, when we try to confirm what their intent is, then there's a lot of obfuscation going on.
Well, that's not what we said.
Yeah.
We didn't mean it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's excuse after excuse, and that
right,
doesn't help
right.
the families find their missing
yeah.
children.
I just want to mention something because I have my TV on, and right coming across the TV right now is from Comcast Emergency Alert System. Civil authorities issued a child abduction emergency. I've never seen anything come across like this. The channel has stopped, and this is coming across. So I think that, and that's coming from Comcast, I think that people are starting to be aware, and these things are coming out more and more frequently. I mean, we have signs up on our highways with amber alerts and silver alerts and things like that, and I think people are coming aware that we have got to do something about this situation. Now,
because it's everybody's problem. Even if it's not your child that's gone missing, if you look at the health situation in America today, when a child goes missing, everybody suffers, even if it's not your child and you don't know that family, because that child is going to need public services. That child, if found alive or deceased, something has to transpire with that family, whether it's psychological, whether it's funeral arrangements, whatever the case. And so the more that this continues to go on, the more everyone can complain, well, why am I getting billed for that? Why am I – well, why is it that it's taken so long to find somebody? In Portland, we have like 52 cold cases in a basement. I think it was K2 that did a story on it. Cold cases. And in that particular case, Yashawn Yvonne's case, that child was missing for 4 months. And authorities, attorneys, everybody could have brought her home earlier, and they didn't because of trying to work a plea deal or whatever the case may be, whatever transpired in that. But people of authority could have found that girl 4 months before we finally did, and that was sad. We knew she was deceased, but yet no one would go and get her from where she was. And we as a society need to say, well, why the heck is this happening? Why are we allowing it? Because we're the same people that are going to say, why should I be taxed on that? Why should I be this? These three girls, Amanda, Gina, and Michelle, they're going to need a lot of help from the public service. And most likely, if they haven't already, will be lawyered up. And who do you think that hurts? So if you see something, say something, because when a child goes missing, no matter the reason, whether a parent abduction to a stranger abduction, whatever the case, it's all of our problem. It's everyone's child, because in the end, we will all pay for it some way or another. And so let's all stand up and be the Charles Ramseys of the world. Before we go tonight, again, we've got Julian Nichols on the line. If anyone has any questions, dial 917-932-8962. Her daughter is Kara Nichols. You can find out more about Kara at karanichols.org. 2,100 children on average go missing each and every day in America. That's mind-boggling to me. But over 200,000 children are missing each and every year, and that is just children that are reported. There are many immigrants that don't report their kids missing because their fear of being deported. You've got many parents, like we saw in Raven's case, where the parents of the two girls she left with didn't report. Why? Because mom's on drugs or something of that nature. And then you've got cases that don't get into the system because, like the Michelle Knights of the world, she's just a runaway. And,
or overage. That's another
or
difficulty.
Overage,
yeah.
Or overage. Or mm-hmm. overage. And it starts to add up. So we encourage everyone, take 25 minutes. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you can put a computer or a cell phone in the hand of a child, whether they be 5 years old or 15 years old. I think it should be a priority that that technology and that equipment come with Take 25, National Center, Internet safety instructions, the do's and don'ts, be safe online, something. Just like we all get a handbook when we buy new technology to teach us how to use it, safety needs to be a precaution. If you can put on the back of a cigarette packet, you know, may cause cancer. Well, guess what? Being on the internet may cause a lot worse than cancer. And not saying that cancer is not bad, but this is a cancer. And it keeps growing and growing. When are we as a society going to say enough is enough? Millions of children and families are heartache. This poor girl's mother, I think it was Gina, don't quote me on that, but whose mother died with a broken heart.
I think that was Amanda Berry's mother.
Oh, was that Amanda's?
Wait,
Amanda,
yeah.
You know, we don't want that. So we want Kara home before that ever happens. We want Lindsay home. We want Brittany home and Kayla home. We want these kids found safe and brought home. But we want them brought home one way or another because the families deserve that. In the last few minutes, Julia, do you have anything to say to the listeners? You know, our last show on Take 25, we had the National Center on. We've had almost over 500 downloads, which Shelley and I, we were analyzing earlier today. That doesn't happen on these types of shows.
Wow.
You know, so Dr. Dale Archer, when he spoke with you, that's had over 500. We've had Lisa Wallace's case on here, over 1,200 downloads. Raven's case, over 1,200 downloads. Typically, unless it's a major high-profile case, we don't see those types of listening bases. So, you know, hopefully we'll get the same for this show. So what can you leave with all the parents that might be listening saying, I want to call in, but I don't know what to say?
Well, you know, I guess I would caution people out there. You know, it's one thing to review the do's and don'ts on the internet, and I think younger kids will listen with respect to the parental authority, but then they turn 18. And then maybe they buy their own laptop, or they get it as, in our case, Kara got it as a graduation gift. And, you know, they're legally adults, and your life with your child drastically changes at that age demarcation. And they know it, too. And if they're the rebellious type, they will call on society's rules in their defense and say, I'm 18, I'm an adult, blah, blah, blah. And you have to take a different approach. And in Kara's case, I wish, of course, that's one of the things I wished, that we had been somehow more vigilant in querying her about what her online activities were. But again, that's a very fine line for parents to walk when they're dealing with a new adult relationship with their child, both because of society's rules and because that's our desired outcome. We want to launch our children to adulthood. So I think that's where there's a gray area on internet safety. There's also a lot of hubris with these late adolescent kids. They're not really kids anymore, but they are. They're still, their brains haven't developed yet into maturity and judgment and less impulsivity. So, you know, they do think they're immortal and that they can conquer the world and that the internet's part of that and they can do what they want now that they're 18. And that's, I think, where I don't have the answers. I just wish there were answers on how to curtail that or how to somehow persuade these young adults to be more cautious and to rely less on the technology and more on face-to-face, interpersonal relationships where you can try to use more more of your instincts, you know,
definitely,
the five senses.
And Julia, I just want to say before we end, I want to say that my thoughts are with you today and always.
Thank you.
and I'm working my hardest.
Happy Mother's Day, too.
Oh, thank you so much. I feel glad that I was able to be on the show.
Thank you.
And happy Mother's Day to everyone. Next, our next show will be actually on Friday. We will be exploring the Jody Arias trial, and we have family and friends of Travis Alexander, the victim, that will be speaking out and having a voice for justice. Otherwise, we'll be back here again next Sunday as we take 25, and everyone be safe. And give your children a hug tonight and be happy that they're there with you. Good night, everyone, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can anybody out there hear my voice? Does anybody out there really care?